listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
We've not got Retroid this week, but it's okay because he probably wouldn't want to be involved in this episode because we're talking about
he'd be cursing us all.
Yeah,
we're talking voodoo dolls out.
He would. Yeah, he would. Yeah. Oh, but we're talking about something that sold almost 20 million units worldwide. It is the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
I feel like I should have had a drum roll for that. That is because in the past couple of weeks, three quarters of the Nerds Assemble crew are now Nintendo Switch owners. Retroid is currently
the dark side.
Yeah, Retroid is currently the one out.
Bless him.
So, yeah. It's fine, Retroid. It's cool. We're not going to gang up on you much.
Much.
In your absence. because we got a Switch on launch.
Yeah, yes.
You've obviously recently gotten yourself a Switch. I feel like we need to ask you, Cookie, why have you ended up buying a Switch?
Okay, so I've always been intrigued by the Switch. I've had my doubts about the Switch, as previous podcasts will explain, but I've always said it actually seems like a really cool idea. I've been banging on about it on and off since the launch of the Switch, that it would be really cool to play about with one. As you all know, we've moved house. We've moved to our own house now, so we actually bought our own house. There wasn't enough room really for there's not really room for a TV upstairs in the room, so I didn't have a spare telly to plug my PS4 in, so I got rid of that and ended up getting a 3DS as well. We ended up keeping the Wii, and I ended up exchanging the 3DS for a Wii U, so I could play Zelda Breath of the Wild. And then, because I've been so patient, Nina got me the Switch for an early Christmas present. Yes, because
Nina.
I've been waiting so long for it. Yeah.
Nina, you're an incredibly generous lady.
Aww. Yes, definitely. She really surprised me. She was like, well, you've been banging on about it for long enough, so you might as well get one. And I have been putting it off, trying to justify it to myself, and I couldn't. But yes, so I ended up getting one with Mario Odyssey.
Yay!
Splatoon 2.
Fair.
Yeah, I got Splatoon 2. So, because I do love Splatoon on the Wii U. And downloaded Fortnite for it, and I've downloaded Paladins for it, which was actually surprisingly quite interesting, the first few games I've had on it. And I've now got Mario versus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, where it's called.
Okay.
Which is quite a cool game as well, actually.
I did quite enjoy it, although I kind of played it. It was one of those games that I played for a couple of days, and then kind of something, life inevitably happens, and it's something that I've never managed to get back to. But
I've got the special edition gold pass as well.
Ooh.
Gold edition of the Donkey Kong DLC.
I remember you playing the thingy game, and like Josh was watching you play it and was quite intrigued, and then you stopped playing it. And I think there was a couple of weeks when we were going around to my parents with the Switch that he was quite hopeful you were going to continue playing it.
No, actually, it's a really interesting concept, and the whole thing is done by Ubisoft, isn't it? So I was quite shocked for that. And it's very addictive, actually. And I can imagine that you might drop in and drop out of it, but it's going to be so easy to pick up and just jump in again for five minutes at a time, because it's not a game that requires too much effort, I'd like to say, but it's just fun and addictive.
Do you know what? I think rabbits are like highly underrated in terms of little creatures that were kind of like a side thing in something. And then got kind of blown up a bit, because if we consider the terribleness that is the Minions in the Despicable Me films and their proliferation, like, rabbits are fucking cooler than Minions. Rabbits are infinitely cooler because they come up with much cooler shit. I'm sorry. And also they know how to be classy about it, and they don't allow themselves to be proliferated through a million Facebook posts. This might be because not that many people are as aware of rabbits, but, you know, rabbits are cooler.
Yes.
So much cooler. Sorry.
No.
You know that, you know those kind of memes of, like, who would win in a fight between, like, 1,000 Iron Men or, like, 2,000 or 3,000 Hulks? Feels like there should be some sort of kind of thing with Minions rabbit and rabbits.
Minions.
Yeah.
Rip's going to kick ass.
Okay, so which is your favourite game so far out of the ones that you've collected?
Ooh. I'd have to say Mario Odyssey, actually, because it's the first Mario platform game in a while that I have actually... I think I'm already halfway through. I'm on the seventh world, and I think there's about 14 worlds.
Mm.
So I'm actually already on the seventh world, and it's the first Mario game that's pulled me in for quite a long time.
Yeah.
I think that's the beauty of the Switch, because you can play it anywhere. So although you've got the TV dock in, I've hardly actually played it on the TV, I have to admit. It's mostly been handheld, because Nina can still sit there and watch TV programs while I'm just playing it.
Absolutely.
So the TV dock hasn't really had a look in. In fact, I've bought a protective case for it this week, one of them gel cases.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can play it in the case, so if I do drop it, it's got that extra level of protection. And I've had to unplug the AC adapter out of the TV dock so I can charge it.
You can get those separately as well, because I know that's what I do. Yes. I've got the dock all set up so I can just basically drop it in and stick it on TV whenever I like, or I can basically take it around with me and have like a separate power kind of supply for that as well.
And that's what I'm going to do next, I think.
Yeah.
That will be the next purchase, so which will be good. But that's the fascinating thing about the Switch. They've managed to do it. They've managed to create a home console that you can literally take everywhere. And I've got to put my hats off to Nintendo for doing it, because it is, you get the full console experience, even handheld.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you did with the PSP Vita to a degree, I think, because I did like the Vita, but the Switch has just already got more of a catalogue of games than the Vita ever had, and a lot more support, I think.
Definitely. So, I mean, I've been in the doctor's surgery before, and basically just playing on Legend of Zelda, just, you know, pop it out, you know, playing it for a little bit, you know, stick it back, and it's just fantastic how it's so seamless.
Yes.
You know.
No, it is. It's, I haven't, I know you did the Gaming Mojo thing last week. For me, I've been, for the last few years, been going in and out of Gaming Mojos where I'll have months where I haven't touched a game, then jump back in.
Yeah.
But actually, the Switch has sort of revitalised my gaming a little bit more.
Okay.
So I have been gaming a lot more at night, because it's so easy to game now. When I get home, I can go walk the dog, sit down, have some tea, clean up, sit down. Nina's got the TV on. I just pick up the Switch and play. Whereas before, I've then gone upstairs, switched on the PS4, switched on the TV, you know, watched all the downloads of the updates going on, going, oh my God. Oh, okay, it's time for bed already. Okay. So, yeah, I think that's what is quite cool about it. Don't get me wrong, I know there is updates, because I've come in today to three updates already being downloaded, bless them. So, but yeah, it's actually, I've got to say, I've really enjoyed it, and definitely should have got one sooner. You know, and if you are thinking of another console, then I think the Switch has got to be your choice. You know, because there's so much games. The Neo Geo catalogue that's there for it. All the classic Neo Geo games, which if you had a Neo Geo console, at the moment would probably cost you the best part of some of the games, £100 a cartridge.
Hmm.
You can pick up on the Switch, and they've got, I think, over pretty much nearly the whole catalogue now, haven't they? The SNK stuff and everything else. So even for retro games, it's really good, and you've got some really cool IPs, some new ones coming out, Metroid 4. It's got the support that the Wii was lacking. That's the biggest thing, I think.
Yes, yeah, definitely, because it's sold more, and, you know, you see more and more games. Yes, okay, so they're like last generation games, but, you know, that they are slowly kind of shipping out to the Switch.
Yes.
I know that South Park, the...
Yes, the Stick of Truth.
Yeah, is also out now, as well as the what is it, the something about the butthole.
Fractured.
The fractured butthole, that's the one.
Yes.
I knew it had something to do with butts and holes.
A lot of stuff in South Park has stuff to do with butts and holes. It's kind
good
of
point,
it's
point.
Kind of written into their DNA, if you consider how this whole thing started.
Mm.
So, yeah.
No, I mean, another thing that I actually like about the Switch is that it still uses physical media if you want to. But the carts are so small that you could literally take your entire console collection with you wherever you go.
Yes.
As well.
Definitely. I like the fact that it is cartridges. Okay, so you haven't got the backwards compatibility, but, you know, hey-ho, never mind. You've still got the download shop as well, which is quite cool. It takes a memory card, the SD memory cards, which are now quite cheap, the micro SD cards. I think the whole thing is just a great package. I haven't used the Joy-Cons motion controls that much because I've been in handheld quite a bit. But
fair.
From what I can see, they seem to be quite fun.
I feel like Skyrim, I really should at some point try out the motion controls at least for like, because it apparently can be quite good for like archery. But
I can imagine that because, I mean, the gyro controls on most, say, for example, Legend of Zelda. You know, where before you'd have to kind of press like left a bit, up a bit, down a bit, right a bit more, up a bit, and you still miss. Instead, having gyro controls where you can just go and basically just target wherever you need to, it's a lot faster and a lot more intuitive.
Definitely. How do you find Skyrim on the Switch?
I find it pretty good. Like, obviously, I've played a ludicrous amount of hours, but it still feels quite fresh. And I like how convenient it is. And as I was saying in last week's episode, I like the fact that because of the way the controllers are set up, I can have a wrist strap on, and so I can play it whilst I'm on my exercise bike, not necessarily with the full Switch console, but just the gamepad.
Mm.
And yeah, and just do stuff.
Oh, on tablet mode.
Yeah. Well, not tablet mode.
No. So yeah, the Switch is in the dock, but the controllers are in the Joy-Con grip thing.
Yes. Cool.
So that's quite a good way for you to do it. I've also found that I can kind of play without the Joy-Con grip because obviously the grip is literally just a kind of piece of plastic. I'm fairly okay. I know when I played Breath of the Wild the first time round, and I was basically starting to get used to having the Joy-Con separately, and it's kind of more freeform rather than kind of having your hands so close together and kind of feeling like you're kind of manipulating a small object instead. It's kind of far more free range and feeling a bit freer.
See, that's why I haven't tried yet, but I'm thinking I might have to try it because Mario Odyssey is quite, I'm not saying pushy, but it does keep coming up with the fact that, you should try using the Joy-Cons separately, one in each hand, because you get more controls of the homing phone stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas if you try and do that on a handheld mode, it's very hit and miss if it actually works or not.
Yeah.
And I might have to put it onto tablet mode, which I'm not against. It's just, I suppose it's just my way of thinking, because if I'm handheld, it's sat on the laptop, and it's all together. Whereas on tablet mode, I suppose I need to set it up on the table. But then that could work really well, actually. So I might have to try that, actually.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is a bit weird at first. Like it feels like holding a controller that's been split into two. Mm. It just feels like, how is this going to work? Mm. Feels like it's broken somehow, but it does work very, very well.
Cool.
So I take it you haven't had a chance to kind of play any like Mario Kart or anything like that?
Haven't got Mario Kart.
Ah. Is that the next one to get?
I've got Mario Kart already for the Wii U.
Okay.
That's so fine. I don't honestly know. But then I would really love to be able to play it on tablet mode, split screen.
Yeah.
Just to see what it's like.
Another thing with
I don't think work would be very happy with me.
No.
But I think a lot of my colleagues would love it.
Yeah.
Fucking love it.
That's the thing, because you've got two Joy-Cons in with the packaging already, if you buy Mario Kart, you can take basically the Switch out with you wherever you go, just hand somebody the other controller and play two-player straight out of the box.
Mm.
Which is brilliant.
I mean, technically, you can play four-player straight out of the box on Mario Kart, you know, out and about as well. But obviously, you're going to need two more, you know, Joy-Cons.
Joy-Cons, yes, which I will probably invest in at some point, but they are quite expensive, actually, I suppose.
Well, it's... You see, I've been debating this because...
£69, aren't they?
Yeah, cause I think you can get, a set of Joy-Cons for... how much did you say it was?
£69.
£69. You're looking at, Xbox One controllers and PS4 controllers for probably around £50, but so you get in.
But you're actually getting two, aren't you?
Yeah.
In essence.
Yeah. Well, or the potential for, you know, kind of two if you're playing certain games that, you know, can work with it.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah. I like your way of thinking, actually, because. And I bet this is what stops people buying them because they don't think of it like that.
Hmm.
Because the Joy-Con, traditionally with handheld mode, you've got the Joy-Cons on, so it's the one controller, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when you actually think about what you can do, and it's probably two, yeah. Because they don't sell them singly, do they? They only sell them in pairs.
Oh, I'm not 100% sure. I think they might possibly sell them singly.
Really?
I've got the feeling they might do, but I can't see the point in buying them singly. You may as well just kind of buy them as a set.
If you've only got two kids.
Mm.
Mm. Okay. But no, it looks like... It does look like it is only... Mm. Oh, no, Nintendo Switch Joy controller left, grey. Okay, so you can buy them... But they're £39 on their own.
Yeah.
So you might as well buy two, actually.
Yeah.
And get the funky green and pink colours.
Mm. Mm. But, no, I mean, it's a great multiplayer potential experience.
I was going to say, because you can have four players and everything, and there's a lot more co-op games.
Yeah, I mean...
It's on Nintendo.
I mean,
yeah.
Smash Bros. Ultimate is coming out in December as well, and that's going to have the 8-player mode again. So that's going to be
awesome. And it's also going to have online play, isn't it?
Yep, it's going to have online play. It's basically going to have all the features of the previous games plus some more.
Plus some more, plus every single character that's ever been in a Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
That's Castlevania and a few others.
Yeah.
Which will be awesome.
Mm. So. Not to mention Amiibos as well. Amiibo kind of functionality.
Yes.
Because so. I did quite like the Amiibo functionality with the Smash Bros. Because it wasn't just merely a case of unlocking stuff. It was basically a little statue that you could pretty much teach and feed and customize and basically just create your own version of that fighter, which is
cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
I mean, okay.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, the figures themselves, at least on launch, they were kind of like £10 to £12 usually.
Yes.
Which isn't too bad if you're going to collect maybe like two or three fighters maximum. I've got a shelf with a fair few Amiibos of my some of the most favourite ones, including a whole load of Zelda ones as well. which have been useful in unlocking stuff in like various games like Hyrule Warriors and Breath of the Wild and you know, all sorts, which is really cool as well.
Yep.
But yeah, it's
that's cool.
You know, being able to kind of do that on the move is quite cool.
Yes, and obviously you've got the new Pokemon game coming out in November, which is going to be co-op as well. Hey, I thought you'd have been...
That is Emily wanting Pokemon out already, I think.
Oh, okay.
That's a good...
I cried when they originally sold the trailer.
It is going to be a really cool experience. But the question is, have you started playing Pokemon Go?
No, because I just want it because of the experience that it offers in terms of being more like what I originally wanted out of Pokemon.
Yes, I fair enough.
So,
but you know, there's a legendary Pokemon that's going to be unlockable through Pokemon Go for Pokemon Eevee.
I've never been that obsessed with kind of
collecting them
catching
all.
Them all.
Despite the nature of the game. So, fair enough.
See, for me, because I've been playing Pokemon Go for the last 2 years, I've just finished the Kanto Pokédex, finally, after 2 fucking years. To be able to unlock something in that is just the icing on the cake for me.
Mm. So is that going to be a day one purchase for you?
Depends on my commission, I suppose, next month.
fair.
Especially with Christmas coming up. I don't know if I'll be able to flag it, but obviously it'll probably be there for Christmas Day, I think. So I've been warned not to buy too many Switch games by kids. But it will give me a chance to try and get what I need to do to unlock the legendary that actually appeared in Pokemon Go the other weekend, and I thought, oh, that's a cool Pokemon. I've never seen that in any of the games. And then it turned into a Ditto, as I called it, and I thought, you fuckers.
That's, yeah, okay, I do know that feeling slightly. The subterfuge of Ditto's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially as one of the tasks to catch Mew in the game was to actually catch a Ditto, which I had 4 or 5 months ago, and it took me 4 weeks to find a fucking Ditto to get past the bloody thing. I was catching that many Pidgeys, I was sick of them. Just try and catch a Ditto.
Everyone gets sick of Pidgeys eventually.
Definitely.
Now, I know at one point there was meant to be player versus player battles on Pokemon Ooh. Go. Has that come into it at all? Or?
No, not yet, no. We've now got friends, so you can actually have friends on it and you trade gifts. And you can actually trade Pokemon if you're close enough.
Mm.
So you have to do it over Bluetooth. So you can now trade Pokemon with friends to see how they're doing. If you live quite a distance away, so if we were to be friends on it, I could send you gifts every day to build up our friendship level, and you actually get XP points for doing that, which is pretty cool. There's fighting in the gyms, which you now get a team bonus on if you're on the same team. But the PvP still hasn't arrived yet, unfortunately.
Okay. You mentioned Bluetooth earlier on. Just a quick tip. If you have your Switch console and you take the controllers, you know, off the console themselves to play separately, do not stick your Switch on airplane mode because it will turn off Bluetooth as well. We actually had a customer basically returning a Switch console because they said that the controllers didn't work. I you know, turned on the controller, turned on the Switch console. And whatnot, and was like, okay, yep, this is a bit odd. Hold on, stuck them onto the console themselves. Hold on, it's working now. Go through the settings. Airplane mode had been turned on, so that's obviously cut off the stuff for the Bluetooth. And yeah, it was a perfectly working console.
Yes, amazing. That airplane mode is to turn off all wireless communication.
Funny, that
makes sense. Yeah, okay, that's cool. I will bear that in mind. Thank you.
That's right.
Have you been playing? Have you been playing Fortnite on it?
I've basically been waiting for like a sign from somebody else that they're going to be online at a specific time, because, you know, I kind of playing online is kind of okay. It's... playing online with friends that, you know, people that I know,
yes,
is
better.
You know, yeah.
Is
exactly.
Cross play available yet?
It is. Yes.
Okay, yes, so I just we need to get Fortnite then onto the PS4, and then
yes, yeah, because we have a couple of friends that play Fortnite on the PS4, and you know, for ages it was like, oh well, you know, I could download Fortnite, but then, you know, I wouldn't be able to play with my PS4 having friends. I mean, we do have a PS4 anyway, so it's like. But, you know, I just kind of prefer to use a Switch a lot of the time. So, yeah, when that was announced that they'd, you know, kind of allowed for cross-play finally from that, it's like, oh, yes, I'll download that now. Now I can, you know, kind of play with those people.
I've played it on the PS4 with my son because he's got a PS4. Hmm. He's still very heavily into Fortnite, so when I got the Switch, I thought I'd download Fortnite anyway just to see how it compares.
Hmm.
And it compares very well, actually.
Oh, excellent.
Which is really good. In fact, I won my first ever game of Fortnite on the Switch. I am very proud that I actually managed to win it. So I'm not as proud as how I won it, because literally I just hid in a shed until the storm passed. And then I noticed that there was only two people left, and I watched them shoot each other while I just stayed in the shed. And then just went, "You're victorious." So I was like, that's just so fucking ironic, isn't it? Wow, that's amazing. Bonus for me. I've actually won a game.
Woo!
And I didn't even shoot any fucker. Bonus.
That should be like an achievement for that.
That's what I like about Fortnite, though, because it is about how you approach the game, I think.
Mm.
There are several ways of doing it. And running in with your guns blazing is not always the best way, to be fair.
Yeah. So, that makes a lot of sense. I do like shooters that force you to basically not rely too heavily on, say, for example, your reaction speed or, you know, your aiming or sniping and whatnot. Mm. You know, if you have other tactics that you can utilize, which is why I quite liked Team Fortress 2, is the fact that, you know, you could be, you know, dead shot. You know, play sniper, you'll be brilliant at it. You could be somebody who's a horrible shot that just basically likes running around the place. Play as pyro, you'll be good at it. You could be like an engineer that, you know, wants to kind of help your team or stick turrets in just the right spot. Play the engineer, you'll be good at it. So it's kind of a good thing that Fortnite is seemingly one of those games where alternate tactics are valid.
Definitely, and I think the other thing is I actually played Canon the other night on the crossplay, and it actually works quite well, very well indeed. I think the other thing with the Switch and the PS4 as well is the fact that if you log into Fortnite on the PS4, you actually log into your Epic account that is run on the Switch as well. So if you've got any unlockables and stuff, you can just play with the same gear on the PS4.
Now,
just makes perfect sense.
Now, the question is, if you're playing against somebody in the same house on a different console, so they're obviously kind of playing on the big screen on a PS4 or on their PC and whatnot, you can be on the move on your Switch playing against them, which means that you could sneak up the house, you know, peer through the door, see where they are, and they won't be able to see where you are because you're going handheld and you're peering over there. You know, you're basically one-way screen looking, to borrow kind of terms from, you know, kind of Nintendo 64-based GoldenEye type stuff.
You are indeed. However, saying that, one of the biggest things about Fortnite I've found is, especially on this on the Switch or PS4 is on the Switch, especially if you're on handheld mode, you need your headset in, because you literally are relying quite a bit on hearing people sneaking up on you. So yes, you might be able to sneak up the house, but if you actually go to where they are, they're probably going to hear your footsteps anyway if they've got it loud enough. So it's actually quite interesting, that, and that's one of the tips I would give you. definitely have your headset in, because if you try and play it without the headset, you don't hear any bugger and they just mow you down quicker than you can say anything.
Okay, so because I know the Switch doesn't have like a headset per se, that, you know, kind of voice chat type thing. Instead, they have the app. Have you tried that?
No, Fortnite doesn't have the app.
Oh, I think doesn't.
Fortnite, I haven't actually tried to use it, but I was reading on the forum that a normal headset tends to... I might be wrong, but Fortnite voice chat on Switch, because you don't have to have Switch Online for it.
No, that's true. Any kind of free to play game, apparently, I think it is meant to be, doesn't have to kind of have paid online.
No. There you go. I downloaded Fortnite Battle Royale and bought a headset with a mic on it. I was able to perfectly voice chat Fortnite for 3 to 5 days.
Wait, so the headset is compatible with the Switch?
Just having a look. I think so. I can't remember. But you said it only worked for 3 to 5 days. Oh, hang on. So to buy Apple headphones and those work for me? Well, okay.
Yeah, I'm not buying Apple headphones.
No. Then press plus. There should be a real looking shape. Click that and head to the volume section. There you will find the voice chat options. Have a look through. You should find no. Okay. I'll have to try it. Somebody else voice chat. Have a pair of regular headphones with mic on it. Works for literally 10 minutes and then stopped. During a reboot of the Nintendo Switch system, you usually solve this when my headset's and Microsoft's responding for it. I reboot by holding the power button and restart. I guess it might just be one of the early versions.
Possibly.
But it does sound like a lot of people are getting normal mics to work on it, which would be even better.
Yeah.
Because I haven't used this Switch app, to be fair, for voice chat, because I haven't got anything, any games apart from Splatoon 2, but you can only use voice chat when you're in the lounge.
Right, so you can't use it on when you're actually doing the...
No.
That's really weird.
That is very weird. But I've heard really good things about the voice chat for the Super Mario Kart.
Yeah,
Mario Kart 8. Because a lot of people have... I saw somebody post the other day, actually. It's quite funny, because he's like, I'm in another world. I've just used voice chat on Mario Kart. And everybody's so polite and friendly. It was really alien to me. What's going on?
Oh, that sounds awesome, because one of the things that has always kind of struck me as kind of... irksome about playing online previously has been basically just the general level of abuse that people give via the headset. So that's actually kind of really nice, where kind of knowing that the voice chat on Mario Kart is a lot more pleasant. And I can imagine that Mario Kart is one of those games where you'd imagine that the opponent swears lots.
Are we saying that Mario Kart, or the Nintendo Switch, has a better class of player?
Possibly. I mean, I do remember that one time when I played, I think it was the Wii version of Mario Kart Online, and basically I beat this guy quite a few times, to the extent where basically he just decided to keep to the back of the pack, collect a star power, wait for me to basically come round again, activate star power so that I'm just about to lap him, and bump me one. Just because he was that frustrated, and it's like... Oh, that's just brilliant that I actually managed to frustrate somebody that much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what about winning the race, I'm just going to bump you over.
It's crazy, isn't it? But then I don't know, because Nintendo have always been about multiplayer and getting people involved and having a good time, haven't they, if you think about it?
Yeah,
they're always about the party games and stuff.
Absolutely.
Whereas the Microsoft and PlayStation 4 games are all tend to be games, in essence, online that are blowing people to smithereens, if you think about it logically, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about gaming and fun, you're probably thinking about Nintendo and how fun it is to have, like, people round and, you know, kind of having a game of Mario Kart or having a game of Smash Bros. Or whatnot. And, you know, it is quite fun. If you're talking about more kind of competitive type stuff, yes, you know, Xbox and PlayStation are more your game. Or even more so, PC games.
Yes.
Competitive nature on those are just,
yeah, and I think that's what's actually killed some of the game mojo a bit when I was playing the PS4, because you go on to Call of Duty or stuff like that, and all you do is get abuse.
Yeah.
I very rarely, in the last 6 months of me having a PS4, I very rarely used a headset. I very rarely actually went on to chat. I just muted everybody before I went into a game. I just wanted to play the game and get on with it.
Mm.
And that's what I liked about the Wii U on Mario Kart 8 online. Just play against people. Everybody seems quite nice. They do get a bit agitated, as you say, but they just play it for the fun of it.
Yeah, I mean, there was kind of limited functionality in terms of communication with that one, so it was a little bit like, you couldn't really build a proper friendship in a way.
No, but for a good game online, it's very good. But I will have to, thinking about it, I might have to actually invest in Mario Kart 8 if you've got voice chat, because that could prove interesting.
Mm.
Now, we have obviously been talking a lot about current Nintendo Switches and that, but obviously today there were
rumours,
not firm details, from the Wall Street Journal, which Eurogamer kind of checked out, about a sort of a refresh of the Switch coming out next year in 2019. So
unfortunately, it's one of those things that I can totally believe, but by the same token, I'm not entirely sure whether they'd be able to improve anything enough for it to be worth it.
I mean, the only thing that is being suggested at the moment is that the screen might be a bit brighter and thinner.
I'm fine with the screen brightness. Thinner? Oh, it could be a bit thinner, but by the same token,
it's quite a wide device. Like, you don't want to make it too thin and have kind of external easily removable peripherals, because I'd be really worried about structural integrity. Like, imagine if you would for a moment something the thickness of an iPad with like the sort of like side peripherals on it. It'd be a bit like, am I gonna break it, am I gonna snap it, oh my god. For me. So the my issue is whether or not there would be an upgrade. What's the memory based on again?
They do.
Yeah, but what, is it SD card or a physical memory inside?
Storage. Physical memory inside, I think.
Yeah.
What's the storage space on it based on?
32 gig.
And is that internal?
Yes. Because you have micro SD cards that you can stick in to expand memory.
So the point for me would be whether or not they would be expanding the internal memory along with that refresh.
Yeah.
To make it like 64 gig or something.
Part of me actually wonders if they might do a 3DS on a, you know, when they brought out the new 3DS with slightly faster processor.
Possibly, but I mean, part of the reason for bringing out the new 3DS was because the games that they were making obviously were
sluggish.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not noticing quite the same thing on the Switch. The Switch games generally tend to run pretty well unless they're encoded done badly, like made badly. So I can't imagine it being running any faster per se. It's got all of the stuff there as
that
it
would
is.
Be, but if we were looking at actually moving forwards in time, I would imagine that would be the most logical step, to try and bring it up to the sort of same processing power as the, nearer to the same processing power as the PS4 and Xbox One.
Potentially,
that'd be
by the same
only
token,
logical way of doing it.
Yeah, by the same token,
fresh for me.
That they've got to make sure that the games can still run on the current generation of Nintendo Switches. So, yeah, it's a bit unsure. Unless they had it so that the games could have, like, two visual settings, as it were. Or, because I know they've talked a little, well, not really talked a bit, they've maybe hinted at, there's basically rumours flying around that we could potentially see AR on the Switch.
Mm.
And it's like, unsure.
Yeah. Don't know if I'd really want that, to be honest. Or, you know, it'd be a nice little extra, I suppose, but I'm not sure if I'd be that interested. Because the Switch is great for commutes and stuff, but it's not really something you'd take out on a walk with you.
But, I mean, couple that with the fact that the biggest competitor that they'd have would be PlayStation Move, and that has... PlayStation VR. And that doesn't have that great a selection of titles.
No, but it does have Star Trek Bridge Command, which does fascinate me.
It does fascinate me as well, but, I mean...
But it's not worth buying the headset.
Yeah, because you have like stuff like, what is it, Skyrim VR and Resident Evil 7 VR. I think a friend of ours that has the VR system and has played Resident Evil 7, basically... Yeah, they're not exactly squeamish about horror, but they kind of got a bit like, after a while. And
now,
I think the movement systems on stuff like Skyrim and whatnot, where you're basically kind of almost like pointing to where you want to go and zap there. And yeah, that it's interesting, but I would imagine it would take out a lot of the immersion.
Yeah. No, that's a fair comment. I mean, that is one game I'm going to have to get on the Switch. It's Skyrim. Definitely. But saying about the Resident Evil 7, did you see what they did in Japan for Resident Evil 7?
Yes, yeah. The same thing that they're doing with, Assassin's Creed?
Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yes, where they're basically have the game on a server that you can basically stream to your Switch.
Yes, cloud-based. I wonder if the version 2 or the updated version of the Switch might have something to do with that.
Because
apparently Capcom are actually saying that due to the sales in Japan of Resident Evil 7 on the Switch, they're actually up for a lot more cloud-based gaming for the Switch.
That'd be interesting, but by the same token, I do worry about, obviously...
Internet speed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't know if you realise this as well, because I was quite... shocked when I saw this, but in Japan, the Switch has pretty much got the same install base PS4 already.
Wow.
Yes. One very clear reason for that is because in Japan, a lot of the younger generation do not bother with TVs because they watch everything on their laptops and phones.
Fair.
So to buy a PS4, they would have to then buy a TV
as well. Whereas if they've got the Switch, it's all in one, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So they have dominated Japan. I didn't realise that. And when I'm thinking about it, actually, the reason I'm getting on so well with the Switch is because I'm not relying on having a TV on the wall or in the corner to actually play on.
Hmm.
It's because I can literally take it anywhere I go. And it's subconsciously just there. And it clicked. I was like, yeah, actually, that is why I'm so fascinated. Because if I want to watch play on TV, I've got the choice.
Yeah.
But I can literally take it anywhere with me and I've got the choice. So it is perfect.
Absolutely. It's both kind of a solo experience and a group experience because of that connectivity.
Yes. Absolutely. If I want to play multiplayer games, I can. Even if me is still watching the TV and the kids are around, I could still take off the Joy-Cons, put it up on tablet mode, and I could still have a game with them.
Mm.
And to me, it's just... It is actually logically the next step because, you know, some people will literally watch just Netflix on their phones while in bed and stuff and not bother with the TV. And it's just like, that is the way we're going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually going the other way where I basically, I obviously have the content available to me on, laptop and on my phone, okay. But I prefer to stream it to a TV where it's like bigger and, you know, it's more of an experience.
True. Very true. I suppose it depends on where you live as well, because in Japan they don't have much room, I suppose, some of them.
That's very true.
So crazy, but intriguing.
Mm.
What other games are you looking forward to?
Other than Smash,
mm.
Metroid Prime 4.
Yes.
I think those are the bigger ones, but it was obviously the Nintendo Direct that happened the other week was other month now was very, very big in terms of surprises. Like, you know, having, you know, Final Fantasy 7, 9, yes. 10 coming out, and it's just like, wow.
I did think that you might lose the Switch forever once they're out, along with Skyrim as well, to be fair.
No, I'm just convincing Emily to buy her own Switch. But it's still cool though, because that means that if there's like ever like a 8-player kind of thing going around, a game going around, and basically have a couple of extra controllers, then we can, you know, 8-player stuff. That would be awesome.
You can, on some of the games, you can actually link up two Switch screens, can't you?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So I know that's Mario Party is one of them.
Yes, which is out on Friday, isn't it?
I think so. Something like that. Yeah. I mean, I've heard that it's more of a kind of return to form, as it were, which kind of makes me intrigued slightly. But by the same token, that Mario Party on the Wii U was it was kind of fun. But yeah, it's definitely something that you'd need a fair few people around to help enjoy with.
Yes. Yeah, that's a fair comment.
I mean, I did like the asymmetric gameplay, because I do generally like asymmetric gameplay anyway. But, yeah.
Cool. What about you, Em?
Looking forward to...
It's mostly Pokemon, isn't it?
It is pretty much Pokemon at this point. I mean, the crazy thing for me for the Switch is I'm half the time waiting to see what might get re-released. There's like a couple of things that I would like to see come out on it, my big ones being the Wii edition of Resident Evil 4, but with HD textures, if at all possible.
Please, Capcom.
And then also, I just want Ubisoft to let us have Zombie U on there, because I freaking love Zombie U. And admittedly, they would have to play around with the control system a bit, so that basically when you've got the whole controller in your hand...
Yeah.
Or like if you're using gamepad and stuff, I suppose you'd have to probably do almost like the PS, the PlayStation version.
Not necessarily, because as far as I'm aware, you can still use the gyros while it's docked, which means that it has the sensors between when it's actually in an upright position and when it's actually down flat. So if you could, I would imagine, potentially have it where, you know, you're kind of playing the game normally, where it's kind of at an angle, but when it detects when it's actually on a flat surface, like, say, for example, your lap, it will turn to the kind of menu screen or the inventory screen. That would be kind of cool, especially if it does that automatically.
Either way, if there's a way for them to get somebody to, you know...
Yeah.
Because that is an underrated title. It didn't do very well on the Wii U because it's the Wii U. And then it got ported over to the PlayStation and Xbox.
To people who didn't appreciate its fineness. sorry.
And I mean, there's more to Zombie U than a lot of other zombie games, to be fair. It's got a lot of quite cool ideas in it. So it isn't necessarily about like hordes of zombies. It's about basically making sure that you can survive with, you know, what you can find in modern day Britain.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot of handguns.
All right. Are we gonna move on to what we've been up to this week? Or at least thing each before we wind up.
Oh blimey.
Can I just say though?
Mm.
I am extremely looking forward to seeing Bayonetta 3.
Ooh, yes.
Mm.
And the return of Travis in No More Heroes.
We were about No More Heroes, but, you know, it might be might be nice to kind of give it another go or something, revisit. Maybe. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Cookie, something yes. you've been up to. That probably isn't a Nintendo Switch thing.
Oh dear, that's a bit more interesting. Been watching Discovery of Riches on Sky.
Oh.
I know you weren't very happy with, but God. I've actually quite got into it after the first episode because it does seem to get a little bit more fast paced after that episode. It's just a bit more intriguing about how somehow the witches seem to think they've created vampires and stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
It's quite interesting. Trevor Eves now appeared in it as well. And I do like Trevor Eves as an actor.
I can't get over how freaking upper middle class it is. For characters for like both sides of the Atlantic, is like, oh, the main character got a whole thing from Yale's Oxford, blah 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 blah. Oh, woe is me, I has magic, blah blah, but I have a privileged life, blah blah. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. She just pissed me right off. I don't care. You can die this episode. I would really like the vampires to find you and gank you, please. Gank you, the heroine, because you're. I have no pity for your character. Like, what? What were they thinking?
It's not her character that's got me intrigued, though. It's the actual.
The monsters?
Vampires. It's the vampire, Michael, because there seems to be more to him than meets the eye, because other factions seem to really want him to mess up for some reason.
Yeah,
but then, and we don't know why.
The thing is, though, is the show's not angled with him as the main protagonist. It's, I am so overprivileged and woe is me because parents are dead, but at the same time, I'm overprivileged, but woe is me. And it's just like, she's like even more privileged than freaking Harry Potter. So it's just like,
That's
sympathy? Whoa, I cannot identify with your character at all.
Even more privileged than an orphan that gets locked in there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, moving swiftly on.
Yeah, sorry.
hijacked that one.
Sorry.
That's quite all right.
You're right, though. The monsters are probably the cooler characters in it, but I can't. I need abridged versions of the episodes where her time's, like, at the minimal, or I just have a quick flash up. And she did this, and then it moves on to the monsters. To the vampires. I think I could deal with that. Maybe.
Which is cool. Oh, God. And I'm now speechless. So, Paul, what have you been up to?
The first episode of season 3 of The Good Place was released on Netflix this week, so I've been watching that.
I didn't realise that had been released already, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. So anybody cool. that hasn't seen The Good Place, I think actually Retroid spoken about it previously. Where it's basically a case of these four people kind of get put into what they think is heaven, and at least two of them initially know that they don't belong there, that there's been some sort of mix-up, but they're having to play along, so otherwise they'll basically just kind of get sent down to hell. And so they kind of enlist the help of the other two characters that are actually human.
And the twist to it is amazing if you haven't already seen it.
Yep. I really don't want to spoil it.
That's why I've just said the twist is really amazing.
Yeah. So it's something that kind of came out of slightly left field, mostly because the humor fit so well that you kind of just kind of went along with the premise for a while, and then all of a sudden, bam, and it's like, Oh, okay then.
It's really enjoyable to be fair.
Yeah, and it's obviously teaching a lot about kind of philosophical theories and whatnot, and what it means to be a good person, and all these different, you know, kind of things. And it's just kind of really. None of the characters are fantastically likable, but together as a group, they're you're kind of rooting for them regardless.
Yes. Definitely.
there's definitely room for character growth in all of their stories.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I think it's just the fact that it's so cleverly written. It keeps you on your toes as well.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of season one, I was like, okay, so I have no idea where this is going to go now. And at the end of season two, I was like, okay, then. So this is getting interesting. Where's it going to go now? Anyway, Emily, what have you been up to?
Well, obviously not watching a...
No, no.
and getting pissed off. no, something... I'm sorry, Cookie. I've just realised
that... That's quite right.
Are you okay?
I'm very well. This is fine.
I just, yeah.
You have outbursts.
The main character just... If it was everyone else, it would have been fine, just not the protagonist. it's actually based off of the novel series, though, as well, which just kind of, like, means that I suspect the novel series might actually be even more trite.
I doubt if it's the first time, and it probably won't be the last time, that the main character is the most boring character of the entire...
That's true.
Yeah.
No. Okay, something I've been up to that isn't NHL 19 or...
Skyrim.
Or, oh, we watched that Venom movie, like...
Oh, yeah.
We saw that last night.
Yes. What did you think?
Okay, so it is not the best comic book movie ever made, but it is certainly very far from the worst. It's like it's like just above mediocre, I'm going to go with.
Yeah, I would definitely say that it kind of starts out a little bit slow, but it does kind of get better. I would say that it's second half... was probably better than the first half.
Mm. Oh, and you have to stay till the end of everything because
it's obligatory at this point.
Yeah, it's like if you don't, you're a fool. You'll miss some cool stuff. But yeah, it was. I'm not sure. I mean, because obviously, like the trailers are drawn so much ire, like with every freaking iteration. And I'd seen them a few of them. Having gone to cinema rather than seek them out online, and
see, I actually liked some of the trailers. It looked promising. Yeah.
I mean, you could watch it and not have watched any other superhero movie of a spider-like nature or Marvel-like nature since 2008, and you would have been fine. So it actually works as something that people who aren't watching all the comic movies can watch.
No, okay, fair enough. That works.
I did find it kind of interesting how some of the main bits from the trailer or trailers, some of the really kind of catchy bits that, you know, quite memorable, they kind of come from the very, very end of the film. It was like kind of interesting the fact that they're obviously kind of setting it up for, you know, great new adventures in, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's like it definitely felt like the after stuff was more interesting in a way.
So, but it's definitely better than Catwoman.
Yeah, it's definitely better than Catwoman. Like it's miles better than Catwoman. So, like nobody should.
Okay, cool. Because there's been quite a few who said it's worse than that.
They're dumbasses. I don't know what fucking planet they're on. It's not this one. They're not certainly not in this universe where somehow Catwoman wasn't a terrible film that was burning in some form of dumpster fire. But, you know.
I think we've found out by now that you should not listen to
like
the internet or, you know, just general kind of popular opinion, as it were. I'm pretty sure that I got low Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yes, yeah, I did. I mean, the thing that got me was, because I haven't seen it, but I've been reading some reviews, so there's been quite a few people saying, oh, it's way too wacky and it's really out there and it's a bit disjointed here and there. And I'm thinking, that's Venom. That is actually what the Venom comic books are like. Mm. They are really out there and they're quite twisted and wacky. So,
I mean, I didn't think it was particularly out there.
You know, so I was like, okay, your point being, what exactly? Do you know what you're actually watching?
I mean, it's when you kind of compare it to stuff like Guardians of the Galaxy and, you know, kind of stuff like that, that's out there. Going to.
Yeah. The thing is, though, Venom's always sort of stood out because it is nothing like Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff like that, in my opinion, anyway. Because it's always been a bit of a weird one because he is. He's not your normal, typical hero anyway. Venom, he's more of a bad guy than a hero, to be fair.
Yeah, and that's obviously in the third Spider-Man film, that's how he was kind of done.
We do not acknowledge that film. Never acknowledge Venom in that fucking film.
This version of Venom did feel, I suppose, a bit dark in the sense of it's kind of a bit like Spawn levels dark, maybe, or Blade levels dark.
Which is what you expect, to be fair, so that's good. I admit I was a bit disappointed it wasn't an R-rated film, to be honest. Because I thought Venom for like Logan and Deadpool would have been
the perfect
character for Sony to do an R-rated superhero movie film.
Absolutely.
So it was going to be PG-13. I was just like, what?
I do have a feeling that stuff had to be cut in order to get that certification, because obviously this is Venom we're talking about.
Exactly,
People do die. Quite gruesome, horrific deaths that you can't see on the big screen. And maybe that's what people are upset about, you know, the fact that, you know, you cannot see people being eviscerated or, you know, having their heads bitten off or whatnot. It's you know...
You think there's evidence that...
I mean, do you really need that? Do you really need to see it viscerally?
I was actually at the when there was the last romantic, true romantic moment between him and Brock and was it Annie? Before stuff happens plot wise, this romantic moment between them that involves like, okay, we get that they're about to do this romantic thing. Do we have to go as far as? Like there was a fade to black that would have been better than the slipping to the showing bits in the apartment that just before things really heated up. It was just like, how about you cut that, because that was really unnecessary. Like, we got the hint in the previous scene they were going to do bump uglies basically, and then it was like, and then we're going to have them getting it on a bit more in the apartment before we then fade to black. And it was like, I would have rather actually seen some heads being bitten off than actually have had that moment, but maybe that's just me. Because it was just so awkward. It's like, we don't need this. Don't do it. Oh, they're doing it. Oh, okay. Cool. Whatever. Thanks for nothing, guys. But yeah, that was pretty much... Yeah.
Okay.
But I liked it, and it is better than Catwoman. It's better than Elektra as well. But Elektra's better than Catwoman, just to clarify on that front. I think Daredevil's still a better movie, though.
I actually quite enjoyed the Daredevil. It's one of my guilty pleasures, to be honest.
I mean, the motivations behind Venom make sense.
Yeah.
You know, each character... You can understand why they make the decisions that they do.
Yeah.
Even if, obviously, some are twisted. Mm. You know, because the character is twisted, therefore their decisions are going to be twisted, and it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, it's a lot more easier to understand than some of the other, you know, kind of superhero films out there, in a way.
Cool. I'll have to keep my eyes open for it then. I do want to see it, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, because I do like Venom. And I do have to admit, from what I've seen in the trailers, Tom Hardy does look more convincing as Venom than Topher Grace ever did.
Mm.
Which is a good thing.
Yes. Definitely.
Definitely.
And actually, in a way, his or the portrayal and the script that they've got going, kind of like it redeems Eddie a bit.
Yeah,
cool.
Which is nice. You don't really get that in a lot of interpretations that's happened of the character, like on screen, like between like the cartoon, no. Spider-Man cartoon, and obviously like the Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. I mean that one that doesn't exist as Paul mentioned, and it's like Eddie in that one. He basically just kind of hates Peter Parker because it's his rival, and he basically just wants the power. Over him. And that's an incredibly, obviously, shallow kind of... What the hell?
Don't look at the screen. It's not safe, Paul.
That's an incredibly shallow character motivation, whereas Eddie in Venom does work, you know. He has a goal at the beginning. Obviously, he has the stumbling to the goal because, you know, this is general story we're talking about. And, you know, he does basically redeem both himself and Venom.
So
yeah, it kind of makes character sense.
Cool.
All right, well, I think that's all we've got time for this week. So it is good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul, a.k.a. @OneArmed_Cookie on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter as @PaulBlewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. You can find us on Twitter at @NerdsPodcast and also on Instagram at @NerdsPodcast. And we're on Facebook as @NerdsAssemblePodcast. Episodes are also available on iTunes and Stitcher if you didn't know. And that's it for this episode. Good night.
Good night.
Wise Rich.